middle of the afternoon. Dreamliner is up. Hey, Tomo.
Gary, how are you? Happy hump day here.
Happy hump day it is, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, you didn't tell us that there's an asteroid that is going to fly by, I believe, tomorrow. Have you heard about this?
No, I did not.
Oh, I think they told you over at Channel 9. Don't panic, everybody.
No.
And don't say a word about it.
Not putting the lid on this. I honestly... You know, that's beyond... I tell you, Gary, I deal with the first 10 miles, and the astronomers take over after that. So it's kind of outside the, you know, the job description here. But tell us about
that. An asteroid that's about the size of 3 football fields flew past Earth on Monday, coming within 2.1 million miles.
Wow.
That was near enough to generate headlines such as this: Earth marks close encounter with enormous asteroid. The asteroid that flew by then came within, like I mentioned, 1.5 million miles. The asteroid headed this way tomorrow will come within 1 million miles.
Uh-huh.
And you say, okay, that's 1 million miles, but listen to this. Mm-hmm. The meteorite that did so much damage in Russia a year ago wasn't on anyone's list of objects being tracked through space. It came as a surprise, and you saw what that did.
Yeah, that was a mess. Well, Gary, that explains it, because, see, I tend not to worry about objects that don't come within 0.5 million miles of the planet. So,
is that your gauge?
That's my gauge. Yeah, that sets off the alarms here at Action Weather. So this was outside that little bubble, but wow.
Okay.
You know, one of these days, and, you know, frankly, I hope it's after I'm long gone and all of us are long gone, and one of those things may hit us. We're not looking forward to that day.
There are millions of those things flying around, right?
I know. And they claim they're watching the larger, group of them, and that they see new ones all the time. But, you know, you always hear from the astronomers that there are a lot of them that they, like the one that went into Russia, that nobody knows anything about.
We'll just see what happens tomorrow. If I don't talk to you after tomorrow, well, hey,
That's nice knowing
you.
Right.
I got to explain what's going on outside the Allstate studio. There are two men chopping a bikini out of a block of ice. I kid you not. There was a promotion that happened next to the Tribune Tower for Fort Lauderdale, promoting people to go down there and get out of this polar vortex. And they had frozen a bikini in a block of ice, and now these two guys are taking the whole deal is over.
That's pretty
so they're
low.
Taking the bikini out of the block of ice.
Great. You know that.
They got the top out, and now he's chopping the ice out of the bottom. I know there are some people that probably do that in their boudoir.
Gary, that is so wrong on so many different levels.
Well, they have to do it. They're not going to leave it in there.
I guess not.
Sure, you got to take that bikini to the next appearance.
Couldn't the folks down in Fort Lauderdale have come up with a different promotional campaign?
Why not have a real woman in a bikini?
Well, yes, why not have, as Eddie would say,
exactly.
And I'm Eddie, a real woman in a bikini.
That
would have been nice outside the studio.
Absolutely. It would seem there are better ways to approach it.
Hello, I'm Eddie.
Hi, Tommy.
Eddie, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Did you hear Cliff earlier?
Yes, I did. It was good to see him.
By the way, Gary, where were you? Because Cliff had to fill in for you there.
I was running a little bit late, and Cliff wanted to read some of that poem that Bob read yesterday about heroin.
Right.
Like, I need to hear a poem, not to do heroin.
I know.
I don't want a rat as a pillow. I don't want to shake uncontrollably and eat candy bars as I go through a fit.
I'm going to
pass on that one. Thank you.
I've got to take my hat off to Steve, because with a lead-in like that to launch into a serious newscast after Cliff has thrown it to him like that, that takes some self-control.
Bob is not thinking. I don't know what he was going. What was going through his mind? You're right. He's talking about a heroin poem, and then here's Steve Bertrand with the traffic and weather and all that, and news.
I know.
But somebody wrote this beautiful poem about heroin.
That actually was pretty catchy.
Well, honey, before you start fooling with me, just let me inform you of how it will be. For I will seduce you and make you my slave. I've set men much stronger than you to their graves.
Yeah.
You think you could never become a disgrace and end up addicted to poppy seed waste?
See that, Gary? Cliff has caught on to this.
Seed waste. I love that. So you started hailing me one afternoon, and you'll take me into your arms very soon. And once I've entered deep down in your veins, the craving will nearly drive you insane. You'll swindle your mother, and just for a buck, that's a good rhyme. You'll turn into something vile and corrupt. You'll mug and you'll steal from my narcotic charm, and feel contentment when I'm in your arms. The day when you realize the monster you've grown, you'll solemnly swear to leave me alone. If you think you've got that mystical knack, then, sweetie, just try getting me off your back. The vomit, the cramps, your gut-tied knots,
the dangling nerve screaming for one more shot. The hot chills and cold sweat withdrawal pain can only be saved by my little white grains. Would you like some more, Tom? There's two more stanzas.
Cliff, you breathe life into this that wasn't there to begin with.
Thank you.
Really, I'm quite taken with all
Cliff,
this.
Can you hold on? I have to take a break, and Tom, he'll finish the little heroin poem.
Oh, that's good.
After these words, WGN. There's no other way, and there's no need to look. For deep down inside, you know you are hooked. You'll desperately run to the pussiers, and then you'll welcome me back to your arms once again. And you'll return just as I foretold. I know that you'll give me your body and soul. You'll give up your morals, your conscience, your heart, and you will be mine until death do us part. I'm Cliff. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, Cliff.
Bye, Tommy.
Bye-bye, Cliff.
Thank you.
This is very moving.
That reading wasn't, and I'm not trying to get into your grill here, Cliff, but Bob Surratt read it with a lot more seriousness, I have to say. And I was thinking right before Bob read that, gee, I wonder if I want to do heroin. And then when I heard that, I thought, no,
yeah,
I guess not.
It turned you away from it, huh, Gary?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, that was, actually, that was pretty clever. Who wrote that?
I don't know where it's from.
Yeah.
Who wrote it? It's been around for years.
Yeah, I'm sure it has, but I'd never heard that before.
Well, so. Now you know, Tom, in case you were thinking of it.
Now you know not to do it. I'll check that one off the list, yeah.
Somebody should write something about cigarettes. Maybe I'll do that.
Gee.
Yeah, why don't you work on that, Cliff?
Sure, Cliff. You could have a whole, Cliff could come out with a whole, group of these little readings.
I know somebody who died from a Harvey Wallbanger. Maybe I should write a poem about that.
You should.
All the evils of society, maybe you should have a poem for every one of them.
Yeah. You could do one on taxation, on potholes.
You can't protect people from themselves. And I understand kids, their brain isn't completely formed until they're about 25, and we have to put the warnings on the packages and everything. But after that, once you've been warned and you're of reasonable mind, you're on your own.
I know. I should think getting up every day and knowing you were hooked on some substance like that would be horrible. I mean, it must just be.
All right. Well, again.
Terrible. So you got
to
think
you
about
have to
that
know
before you
going
go down
in.
That road. Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if crystal meth is good for me.
Right.
If smoking was good for you, then firemen would live to be 150 because they're sucking it in all the time.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah, Tom, it's too nice of a day to
Gary,
get into this.
I was going to say, to get on this.
I want to thank the sun, which is on its surface, 50,000 degrees, for sharing. What? How many?
44 of them.
We got 44 out of the 50,000. Isn't that nice?
It's beautiful.
Thank you, son.
Isn't that a wonderful, very thoughtful of him. Well,
This is pretty good. This is along the adage. I hit my head against the wall because it feels so good when I stop.
Yeah.
Now that it was 20 below a month ago.
Sure, 44.
This feels like fantastic.
Yeah, Kingston, Jamaica, doesn't it?
It was so nice to walk out on a day where I didn't have to have the hood and the face mask and everything else. And people are walking them. Some people with no coats at all outside the studio.
We needed this. I think we all, knew as an abstract concept that spring is coming, but this somehow is reality, And I think we kind of needed some reassurance we're going to get to this at some point this year.
I have actually been able now to see the grass on the median on Michigan Avenue.
See
They've
that?
Got those planter
yes.
boxes.
Yep.
And I have not seen the brown grass.
No.
Since probably December, and that's all melted. It's again, the amazing thing about all this is Monday we had that horrific storm.
I know.
And horrific meaning anything added to what we've had is horrific.
Terrible, yeah.
24 hours later, it's like it never happened. 48 hours later, what happened Monday? Who cares?
I know. And believe me, this winter is not done with us yet.
Tom, I'm having a good time right now.
I know, Gary.
You don't have to burst my bubble.
Here's the reality check. Yeah. On the other hand, we looked last night.
You are entering level 2
Set
of discomfort.
Level 2 of discomfort. You had to do that.
Well, you had to monkey wrench it.
Let
me try to unset it. Because we were looking at some records yesterday. We found 90% of the zeros have historically occurred by now. So
that's what the Cubs say in June.
Yeah. We've got some pretty chilly weather coming next week, and I wouldn't be surprised we get some sub-zero nights in there somewhere. But, we're through the majority of these things now. We only have about a quarter of the season snow typically left to go. But, you know, having said that, it's going to continue into March. We've thought this all along.
But tonight there's some cocktail arriving, right?
Yeah, there's clouds. There are clouds coming in. This latest storm's coming in. This thing's going to produce a blizzard in Iowa, upstate Wisconsin. Also, maybe even far northwest Illinois will get in on some of that. We're going to get the rain out of this, and with the melting snow and all, that raises a flood threat. And then downstate, they could have some tornadoes in downstate Indiana and Illinois. So this thing's a full-purpose storm. This thing will produce a wind regime that covers virtually most of the eastern half of North America. It's a huge system that's developing, and it'll...
Yeah. There's your warning.
Boy, she's
that's
taking
a new warning.
Very hard, isn't she? Is that right? Is that
that's
hard?
The new warning, yeah.
I gotcha. Hey, that beats a winter storm watch, you know. That gets your attention.
So this starts tonight at midnight?
No, it probably starts about 4 to 6 in the morning. Rain, freezing rain, something like that. And then it goes over to rain and thunderstorms. It'll come in waves. It won't rain continuously. But we've got a pretty good chance of getting some thunderstorms around the area, this time without snow. And what will happen is the day will feature winds off the lake. It'll be cold and damp. And then late in the day, a warm front goes through here. So we could poke up to the low 50s for a brief period late Thursday and early Thursday night. Then the winds will roar in from the west and the temps dive, and we'll have some flurries that build to some light snow Friday and 20s over the weekend. So it's going to get colder again, and next week looks pretty darn chilly. So,
yeah, but...
Yeah, we're, you know...
Every time the sun comes up, the warmth is a lot better than it was, as you would say, a month ago.
It does indeed feel a lot better.
Well, know? In preparation for the melting snow and the rains, my wife and I carried my train set up from the basement and put it on the kitchen table.
Well, that's good.
And I've been putting this train set together for 25 years. So
yeah,
it's
and
a
you
big
don't want
piece
it
of plywood. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I don't want to lose that tonight. So we carried that up and got all the other stuff, the Christmas decorations, the Black Polk Brothers Santa. That's all upstairs now.
Experimental aircraft is back in the garage again.
Everything's... So. Tightened up and upstairs. That's we're good. Ready to go.
Yeah. So let the water come, huh?
Foosball tables up on blocks.
You got all the family portraits, photos, and all that kind of stuff out of the basement?
Now, when I get home, I'm going to have her help me carry the treadmill up.
Well, have you had the PermaSeal people in yet? You know that.
Well, that's why I got to carry all this stuff up because I'm a little late on that appointment, which I'll pay for. And that's going to be quite a night. So how much rain do you think we'll get?
I think we'll probably have anywhere from 2/3 of an inch to 1.25 inches, it looks like, the range around here. And then you lay that on top of whatever comes out of this snow, and there's 1 to 4 inches in on the snowpack. So you can get a fair amount of water, and it isn't going anywhere because the ground's frozen, can't percolate into it, so it runs off or sits in pools.
And this could make for a dicey rush hour tomorrow morning.
I think it will not be a beautiful rush hour tomorrow morning. I think tomorrow evening it will be the wettest. It will have rained off and on all day. So, but at least then we might be poking into the warmer air.
Okay, well, I'll take the Amphicar out.
Right.
I'll put the DeLorean away tonight, take the Amphicar out.
That's a good idea.
I bought all those vehicles from Uncle Bobby.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know,
his estate.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, he had all those things. Dune buggy.
Sure.
DeLorean. Amphicar, motorcycle.
How about one of those Wisconsin Dells ducks? You know,
I got a duck.
Yeah,
he had a duck.
So
he had a full range.
Go into the puddles, and it turns into a amphibious vehicle. Then
one of the jokes that we would tell when we were competing against this radio station was, "I wonder what the WGN parking lot looks like because you got Uncle Bobby's DeLorean and
and
Wally's, I don't know, whatever Wally, Caprice
people,
his Cadillac, And then somebody probably had a deuce and a quarter. Your Buick. Oops, I got to go, Tom. Hey, there's no late report because of Northwestern basketball. Yeah.
Gary, how am I going to continue on?
I don't know.
We'll talk
to you
tomorrow.
Look at your W-2. I think you'll find out.
Okay.
See you later.
All right, Gary.
WGN. We're working some kinks out. The station's only 80 years old. There was some, and you would know more about this, Steve, than... Little old me, there was some legend going around that the studio was haunted, or did I make that up?
I think Matt Bubala sort of made that up overnight one night to scare us.
You have no information to support that?
No, I don't think so. Like the Fannie Mae shop was haunted?
I don't know. I'm asking. I remember buying my Fannie Mae chocolates right where I'm sitting here, my Pixies.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about the history of the studio before I got here, and then I heard it might be haunted. And that tape just playing.
Out of nowhere.
It's not tape. That digital that was playing is evidence that something just happens and nobody knows why.
I think it was Carmen filling out a dating site or something.
Yeah. All right. Here's a text to 24720. I wouldn't be surprised if you get some hate mail for taking an insensitive position on a serious and growing public health problem. Well, I don't know what I did. What I had Cliff read the poem about how you shouldn't do heroin. I don't think that's insensitive. And if you don't want to heed the message, that's not my fault. So I don't know what to tell you. And somebody referring to the fact that I will be off at 5:45 because of Wildcats basketball. Why don't they have that on your little brother station? We have a little brother. We gave birth this week to a little brother.
3 days old.
87.7 pounds.
3 days old.
3 days old. Checking in at 87.7 pounds. And the length, we don't know. I think it's a year and a half. That's the lease. But they are moving some things.
Some days it's shorter than others. Depends on the day part.
They are moving some things to the sports station, the FM sports station. If there's a Cubs-Blackhawks conflict, I think that's going to be settled where the Blackhawks would go to 87.7 because previously they would move it to another station in town that had an agreement, but now we have a station to accommodate that.
The game is on.
Game is on.
The game is on.
The game is on. It is on at what, 6 o'clock, pregame 5:45, with Dave Ennett calling
the other
game.
Game.
I know. That's about as much promotion as you're going to get on that. I know I'm going to get some kind of directive that I have to start promoting that, but I got news for you. This is my turf on AM 720.
Who's on right now on 87?
I don't know. I don't care.
I don't think they have anybody on from 3 to 7.
In fact, they turned it off at 3 o'clock because I said, please,
it's dead
enough.
Air.
There's enough competition out there without you adding and having me promote my own competition.
Like any good older sibling, you ignore it as opposed to just trying to pinch it or
right.
hold it too tight.
Little brother's got to prove himself, all right? That's the deal.
Well, you're not going to be the godfather, clearly. They're not going to name you.
Fine. That's the craziness of this business. I understand they want to add and build and all that, but I got my own turf here to protect. They're going to have to buy a commercial. This should get, talk about hate mail.
Wow.
That's going to probably be
internal one. Hate mail.
I think that makes sense. And then this one, knock it off with the stupid sounding half lisp voice. That's not a voice. That's Cliff. I mean, if you want to be derogatory towards a person who has a little speech impediment, go ahead. If you think that's funny.
And he made a career.
I don't think
so. An illustrious career with that voice.
And in a way, isn't it appropriate that Cliff should do the poem about heroin? Because Cliff has a way of sucking the cool out of any situation. And so it becomes a deeper message when he starts reading poems. The kids won't want to be any part of that, right?
Well, I think you've put a nice frame around that. Sure. Here's a law that I think we should have here. A new law requiring motorists to remove snow and ice from their vehicles has become a new source of revenue for Connecticut. State police are aggressively ticketing drivers who ignore the so-called ice missile law.
Let me just say, I always thought that was kind of stupid. Like, just
until,
deal with it.
Until you got hit
with
some
you ice. Were driving behind.
Yeah, my Snowmageddon trip this week. Again, we're in down in Indiana somewhere, and this pickup truck was in front of me and let go of this disc of what turned out to be hardened ice,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
And it landed right on our roof. And I thought it dented it. I mean, it made such a loud, huge noise and everything.
Okay, so now you're not complaining about a law like this.
I still pretty much just put the wipers on and deal with it. But
since law took effect Jan 1, state police have issued at least 230 tickets to truckers and motorists who were driving snow-covered vehicles at $120 per summons. That amounts to $27,600 in tickets in a month and a half. And I mentioned this along the way here in this dreadful winter we've been having as far as trucks. It says here Mike Riley, president of the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut, which represents 900 companies with truck drivers, said it's hard enough to remove frozen snow and ice from a car. Trucks with high cabs and thin trailer roofs are even more difficult. Well, I had a solution. Somali pirates, because if you've seen Captain Phillips, if they could get on that freighter with the hoses going and everything else, they can get up on top of a truck and remove the ice. So you pull into a truck stop and a Somali pirate with a ladder and a hook, he'll get up there and scrape off the top for a few bucks.
So there's just like a little pen of them sitting, waiting?
A little pen.
And then by the truck stops?
This would at least put them on the path to something that's legit. Get them off the ocean where they're doing all that damage. They got on. They turned the fire hoses on because they can't carry weapons on those freighters per international law. That's why they thought the fire hoses. If you've seen the movie, before they take off, Tom Hanks as the captain, he goes around and they have these gates that they lock over the stairwell in case they are boarded by pirates. And the pirates got on and they shot the lock off in 10 seconds. So who thought that that was a good idea? And all they had were the fire hoses. They got through that and it was a ladder with a hook on it.
We're going to splash you to death.
That they got at Home Depot or whatever the Somali equivalent is to Home Depot. I'm sure they don't.
It's Hut Depot.
Hut Depot. Yeah. And they got their ladder and they were in one of these ring-eating boats and they got on this big freighter. Aye, look at me. I am the captain now. And that's the end of that. They wanted, what, $5 million ransom? And then that boat that looks like a giant whistle, that little lifeboat they all got in. Ah, I love that scene. But that smelled good. WGN, 312-981-7200 is the number here at Studio A on the Super G, WGN. How about that goof, ex-Illinois Congressman Mel Reynolds? Remember him from 20 years ago? He was arrested in Zimbabwe on pornography allegations. The one-time Rhodes Scholar whose congressional career was derailed, or as we say here, derailed, after being convicted of bank fraud and sexual misconduct, was arrested Monday for allegedly possessing pornographic material and violating immigration laws. And if you remember from 20 years ago, he was caught with a 16-year-old that was one of his campaign workers. And there was a lot of strange video and stuff that surrounded that. And he was on video saying when he learned that she was Catholic, I must have won the lotto because she had something on that he liked. And he associated that with being a Catholic girl. And anyway,
plaid skirt.
What's that?
The skirt.
The plaid skirt. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
The little outfit.
And her peach panties, we found out way too
much. Wow, you've
about.
Retained a lot more than I have that one.
Because, you know, he's been in the news.
You know, and he got
the way, yesterday I mentioned, before you complete whatever frightening thought is coming out of that pie hole of yours, I was talking about the shortage of clowns. They're having a shortage of clowns. My new clown name is Peach Panties.
Peach Panties.
And I'm going out because if there's a shortage, that's all of life. You find a niche and fill it. And
everybody wants Peach Panties, too.
Well, I've already trademarked it.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying in terms of
your little friend shortage.
Of people wanting you to book you.
Everybody wants them.
They want them.
They want Peach Panties. You got them.
But he got pardoned by Clinton.
Right. Clinton pardoned
him. On the last
day. No, I think his sentence was commuted.
Okay.
All right. You're right. Clinton commuted his sentence to time served. And what is the difference, so we know?
Well,
commuted, pardoned.
If you're pardoned, it means that you're exonerated. Your crime is forgiven. If it's commuted, it means that you did 2 years. We're going to let you out. We're commuting your sentence. We're ending the punishment now. But it doesn't take it off your record. It doesn't exonerate you in any way like a pardon does.
Okay. So you want to be pardoned if you can pick.
Right.
Plus he owed $24,000 in hotel bills.
$24,000 has not been paid yet in accumulated hotel bills. He held the second congressional district seat from 93 to 95. He was then convicted of having sex with an underage campaign worker. While in jail for that conviction, the feds hit Reynolds with campaign finance charges for improperly using his campaign fund.
You remember, I was down at his news conference when he claimed to have been shot.
Right, he had that handkerchief wrapped around his head like he was in
the
drum and fife corps.
Running against Gus Savage,
there was another mope. Remember him in his little captain's uniform?
Yeah, well, that's...
Get away from him, man!
And he got in trouble for soliciting a young
same
girl,
thing.
Too.
Well, and Reynolds was seen as this guy, you know, this bright up-and-comer who was going to be the great thing for the South Side, and he ran against him and lost once, and then he ran again, but, yeah, there was one point where he said a bullet flew through his campaign headquarters, and he had a big bandage on his...
Yeah, it was a very weird scene.
Well, remember, he ran in 2012.
Right,
he ran
again. He thought, hey, and his deal was, it's been 20 years, give me a break, I want to serve again. Monday's arrest followed accusations that Reynolds brought Zimbabwean models and other women into his hotel room where he took photographs and videos. This guy should find some legitimate career with a camera, because that's what he likes doing.
They say do what you love.
It's illegal in Zimbabwe to possess any material of sexual nature. Reynolds, Harvard graduate, unseated by U.S. Rep. Gus Savage in 92, 2 years after a House Ethics Committee determined that during an official trip to Africa, Savage had made improper sexual advances to a female Peace Corps volunteer.
What's going on in Africa?
Hey, Mel and Gus, it's P-E-A-C-E. That's the piece that you are misinterpreting. Reynolds resigned from his congressional seat in 95 after he was convicted, blah, blah, blah. Jeez. And he goes to another country thinking, okay, I can start fresh here. And now he's in this trick bag again.
His big slogan, too, in 2012 was redemption. He had the big sign behind him. Redemption. Yeah. I'm back. And, like you said, it's 20 years ago.
Nobody was buying that.
So he went off to Africa. And he missed the reins.
And following up on that running in 2012, it's what you do after the mistakes, he said. That was almost 20 years ago and shouldn't be a life sentence. I want to serve.
Now, could he get if he comes back here, he can't be like if they let him like say they let him go, he can't get in trouble if he comes back here then with those charges then probably right.
I don't know. I'm still following the Amanda Knox case. I can't be concerned with if they will send him and blah blah blah
because they said they might just to get him out of their hair. They might just
send him back here,
just deport him and not deal with it. But then if he comes back here, then he's scot-free again.
This is a nation that's printing billion-dollar bills, and he's their biggest problem.
Well, he owns 24 grand. So,
wait,
so
what, is bread $500,000?
You need a wheelbarrow full of money to buy bread.
What is their currency?
It's the Zimbabwean note. Mugabe took over, the dollar just...
Everybody there is a millionaire. So if you have a million.
And in their context,
right, yeah.
But.
Could you borrow me a million? Yeah, what do you need?
Can you break a billion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want two of 500 thousands?
And I thought it was tough when I wanted to break a $100 bill and went to the bank, and the teller looked at me and she ran back to the manager. He came out, he looked at me. Then they have that pen.
The scary marker.
They put across it, and then they look at it in the light. That's not too embarrassing. Why would I go to a bank with a fake $100 bill?
That's the genius.
That's what I do.
That's the genius.
That's what I do.
Who would do that
except
a guy that wants to try to get some for nothing?
Yeah. Just run the pen across it. Give me 10 tens and I'll be on my way.
Keep one for yourself. I mean, just get me out of here.
I got a whole trunk load of those right next to my 3 bottles of window washer fluid. That keeps me close to the highway during the snowstorms.
And your scraper.
And my scraper. Thank you.
Didn't really need the scraper this year very much. We haven't had much ice. It's been snow, but not ice.
Still. You need the brush.
Well, Leslie,
didn't I give
me.
You that brush? I went to my mother. She had 15 of these.
You know
brushes.
What you did? I didn't.
Yeah,
and I didn't use it.
I don't
because Leslie bailed
and
me out.
Let me be your flunky.
She bailed me out the other night on Monday. She
had her do it.
Yeah, well, she was right next to me.
Yeah, why don't you get mine while you're out there? For some reason,
now I see how it happened to his wife.
That's one of those items where, for I don't know what reason, she had 15 of these.
Yeah,
brushes
you gave me the
scraper,
purple one.
And
I have
gave
the purple
you one,
one
because I said. Why? She's not going to use all these.
Yeah.
We're down to 5 now.
I forgot I had that.
And, yeah, conveniently when Leslie's out there, hey, sweetheart, if you're not too busy.
I felt bad because I was in the car getting warm when I saw her.
If you're not too busy, why don't you grab my stogie?
Well, I didn't have any gloves.
He had no gloves, and he had essentially a little scrub brush.
Well, I had the bottom of a brush, like a big mop brush.
A handle.
No, yeah, well, I didn't have the handle. I just had the brush in my hand. But I had no gloves, so as I was going over, my hands were getting frostbite.
Okay, Fredo.
So then
you're
I got
really
into,
prepared for everything, aren't you?
I got into the warm car.
Hey, I'm smart. I'll have Leslie do it. WGN.
It was smart.